When Doves Cry. That's Prince on Nova 103.5. Of course, everyone knows a beautiful, beautiful man. I have a beautiful, beautiful lady in the studio with me. Very lucky this morning to have Selma Kamanya in studio with me. Of course, Miss Namibia 2018, but back in the world of pageantry and beauty this year, representing us at Miss World 2025. Good morning, Selma.
Good morning.
So today's World Bicycle Day. Before we start talking about beauty, do you ride a bicycle? Have you ridden a bicycle?
I have ridden. Unfortunately, I don't own one at the moment.
Okay.
But I respect bicycle riders.
Do you remember what your first bicycle that you rode was?
Probably when I was really, really small. I was very excited to get it. I don't particularly remember the experience, but I knew that I loved to ride it. So yeah, once again, a lot of respect for professional bicycle riders these days. It looks very intense.
Yeah. Okay, so on to a world you're more familiar with then, the world of pageantry.
Yes.
You were Miss Namibia 2018.
Yes.
You represented us at Miss Universe 2018.
Yes.
And you've now made a comeback, I suppose we could say, representing us at Miss World 2025. How would you sort of rate the difference maybe between having done it in 2018 and now doing it again in 2025 with a little bit more life experience, maybe a little bit more pageantry experience? Was this an easier experience?
I would say that made all the difference. I think that, you know, I was having a conversation with Andaline about this earlier, and I said, you know, I think that nationally we don't really prepare for the international stage that well or as proficiently. So oftentimes when you go international, it's like this big shock to your system because it's like you were not prepared in any way, shape or form. So I think that with me having the international experience already, I knew what to expect, and I think that made all the difference. It wasn't as big as a shock, and I acclimated quite quickly to like the scheduling and the programming, although I only had 3 weeks to prepare for Miss World. So it was done under a heavy time constraint. However, me prepping myself mentally in the back of my mind and just really... I don't know, taking a personal account of, okay, cool, this is what I need to expect, or this is what, you know, what lies ahead of me, and just getting myself in the zone of that. I think that definitely helped me.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, would you say then, talking about this experience and getting there and, in 2018 and suddenly almost like a shell shock having come from Namibia, is it sort of more of a professional thing in other countries?
Absolutely. The industry as a whole there is incredibly elevated. And like I said here locally, I think that, you know, we definitely need to work on improving, you know, the systems that we have here just to better prepare our girls to go and compete internationally.
There is a bit of a sort of, I don't want to call it a club, but maybe Miss Namibia alumni. Mm-hmm. And you do still sort of kind of all know each other, I suppose. Mm-hmm. You know, are there any sort of get-togethers where you all come together to try and do things, try and maybe elevate pageantry in Namibia? Or just work on each other's causes?
There is not, or let me answer it with wishful thinking. Not yet. I'll give you 10% since you came up with that. But I think that it's high time that something like that needs to happen, or something close to that, you know, because I feel like there are power in numbers, and there's power in collaboration. And I feel like, you know, all of us as previous beauty queens, we have different experiences with international pageantry, and I think that the more perspectives, the better. So perhaps that is something that should be looked into.
So a mentorship role of sorts.
Yeah.
Okay. Preparing the ladies so that when they get there, they don't get that shell shock that you had.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Selma, I want to talk about some of the things that you've been doing, let's say, post Miss Namibia in 2018.
Yes.
I see you're involved quite heavily with men's mental health and sustainable agriculture.
Yes.
Why those causes? Why those initiatives?
So, particularly with mental health, I don't just focus on men's mental health. I'm a mental health advocate.
Okay.
So, you know, both genders. I think that for me, this was derived out of having personal experiences with mental illness. And I think that, you know, a testimony is far more impactful than a fabricated speech, I believe. And so because I've had personal experiences with mental illness, I think that, you know, it made the cause that much closer to my heart and that much more important to champion. And in addition to that, I started off with agriculture in 2021, just after, you know, after COVID. Devastating impacts, right? But at that time, I was doing soup kitchens. And so what I had seen, the effects of COVID, is a lot of donors started retracting their funding because they were trying to cut costs, right? And so the people that suffered the most, quite literally, was these orphanages and community centers that were being sustained by this funding that no longer was coming in. So there were often times where the caretakers were unable to feed the children that they facilitated, and that was a problem to me, you know. And then also, soup kitchens were becoming redundant because it's like you feed a child for 2 hours and then they go back to a home where there's no food and they can't have dinner tonight, that evening, you know. And so I had a lot of conversations with different people, and I was like, you know, I feel empty when I leave from a soup kitchen. I didn't quite know how to explain it, but I knew something else needed to be done. And I had a lot of conversations with my mom, and collectively my mom and I came up with the idea of installing gardens in these centers, because not only are you providing them with sustenance, you're also providing them with agricultural education, where they in their daily lives wouldn't have been able to get it or attain it, either at school or through experience. And then in addition to that, what I really am working towards is for it to become a profit-making thing. So after sustenance and after the educational aspect, hopefully it can become a form of income. And that's where ultimately I want to head to and empower communities to do. So yes, my focus for now will be sustainable agriculture, but because mental health is so close to my heart, I'll always still be an advocate and contribute to that space.
I want to just sort of touch back on that mental health element there, and, yes. And you know, I don't want to say bravely, it does seem like it's bravely, a lot more of us should be speaking out about our own struggles. But you know, you saying that you have had mental health struggles yourself, do you think then the world of pageantry, I mean, that's a world in which there are sort of insecurities get brought to the fore.
It's almost like the antithesis of what you should be doing if you have mental illness. Absolutely. But you know, I am a believer, I'm a Christian, and I believe that God calls you to certain spaces. And I believe that if he's called you to a certain space, he's fully equipped you to be able to thrive in that space. And for me, yes, I've struggled with mental illness, but there's a certain level of it's not satisfaction, fulfillment that I derive from being a public servant. And for me, my focus really isn't, yes, the beauty, the appearances, the clothing, the being illustrious. That's about 15% of the job. But for me, when I view the platform and when I view a title, it is about the purpose behind the title. And that's where I derive fulfillment from. Me being able to implement backyard gardens, contribute towards conversations of mental health and mental well-being, contributing towards the space of women economic enablement, and arts advocacy for youth empowerment, these types of things, I really derive fulfillment from them. And I don't know if I would have been able to discover this path without the auspices of pageantry, because it really opened me up to social work. And for that, I will always eternally be grateful for. Because prior to entering pageantry, I thought that, okay, cool, give away my old clothes, of here, geld hier en daar, of, you know. I thought that was enough. But when I was immersed in the world of, okay, cool, now you appropriate the title, so you're a pageant girl, and so you have to start doing social work. The most important the most important thing that a human being can contribute towards a community, a service, whatever, a society, is your time. So taking time to go to these communities and listening to their heartbeats. And what that basically means is every community has a pulse. It's listening to their flair, to the way that they do things, to that way that they communicate their perspectives, and then listening to what their hearts beat for. And what that basically means is having that one-on-one dialogue, listening to their struggles, listening to their inhibitions, listening to what they aspire to become and their constraints from attaining that. And so I will forever be, and I've had my little tiffs when it comes to, you know, the pageant industry as a whole, because I released a statement back in 2019, and, you know, I was asked about that as well. But apart from that, I will forever be grateful for the platform, because it opened me up to the world of individual social responsibility, and I truly felt like I have found my purpose by being involved in that space.
And being thrust back into the, let's call it, the limelight of pageantry now. I mean, you did brilliantly top 8 during the final final competition, which, you know, for Namibia is a really amazing achievement. Do you think, having done this now, mm-hmm. how is this going to help all of your work going forward?
You know, I think that, again, I am a Christian, so I'm going to credit my creator. But God gives you wonderful opportunities in life, and it definitely is about what you make of it. And I think that, you know, he's given me a second opportunity, a second time to get it. Not right, because I'm not sure if there's a right or a wrong way.
Yeah.
But a second time to make the impact that I really want to make. And so I look at it as, again, it is a stepping stone. It is a vehicle to drive all of the social work that I've been cultivating, building, writing about, talking about for the past 7 years, ever since 2018. And once again, I'm grateful for it, because where I have experienced constraints in the past before, I really, really want to use, you know, the newfound limelight once again, in order to really push and really work towards implementing those things that have been on the back burner or that have been turned down because it's not relevant, or we don't have this, or we don't, you know, we're not, this is not our focus for right now. Now I have an opportunity to really lobby for sustainable change in this country, and that's exactly what I plan on doing.
Salma, thanks so much for having come in. Congratulations.
Thank
once
so
again
much. Thank
and
you.
All the best for everything you're going to do going forward.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.